Will you bow your heads with me, church? Father, thank you just for today. Thank you just for another great reminder of the great love of Christ. And Lord, let that love be the treasure and the delight of our soul so that we may achieve being renewed. And Father, there are some of us in this room, if not all of us, even who are watching online, who are longing to be renewed. And Father, it begins with acknowledging and knowing this great love that you have for us. So Lord, let that be the treasure of our hearts. Let that enlighten us and encourage us and convict us. But most importantly, allow it to bring us closer to you. Father, bless us today. Encourage us. Let your spirit be at work. It's not about my words. It's not about the lyrics. It's not about anything else, but it's your spirit that has to move. So we pray that your spirit would grant faith. Grant faith, and it would give hope, and it would push us closer to your love. Christ's perfect name is who we pray. Amen, amen. We go ahead and be seated, Christ Church. Good morning to each and every one of you. Hello, all of our online family. Love you guys. Thank you guys for tuning in. And I just want to, listen, it's Father's Day. Can we give it some more love? It's our day, fellas. We're going to go golfing, right? We're going to do a little golfing. Ladies, you got the yard work, right? We're good. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But hey, to celebrate Father's Day, we thought we'd do something a little fun. We want to do a giveaway. And the gift of the giveaway, some of you may or may not know, it happens to be a big old juicy fat steak. So here's the trick. I put my name in 10 times. According to my public school math, the odds of me winning becomes greater. So don't be shocked if Dwayne wins. But anyway, I'm gonna draw it up. Here's what we're gonna do. When I announce the winner, we'll make sure that you get your steak on the way out. Again, let me do a little bit. Swish it around. Let's do some little fun here. Oh my gosh, I can't believe this guy won. Robert Overy, you gotta be. Public school failed me. I thought I had the odds to win. Rob, get your steak. It's a small steak anyway. We got it from Giant Eagle anyway, so don't sleep on Giant Eagle. Also, guys, just want to let you guys know our old Brooklyn team and family, that's the other campus, our third campus that we partner with here at Christ Church, has this awesome event coming up called Addiction and Mental Health Awareness Night. Yeah, they're going to be partnering up with an organization to talk about some things of how to get to healthier and greater and better places. So if you're somebody, man, that you want to just know a little bit more about it for yourself or for someone else, we encourage you to be a part of this very special day. That's going to be June 24th. It's going to be at our old Brooklyn campus. So if you want to know more about that, stop at our back connection desk. You can pick up a sheet or you come and ask one of the staff members here. Well, guys, we are continuing in the sermon series that we started last week. And the sermon series title is Finding Renewal. Remember, if you've been with us for a while, our goal and our theme for this year is that you and I would be led in a path of getting healthier, that we would get healthier personally, that we would get healthier in our relationships. But this series, and really every series, I guess you can say it, but this series is about strengthening our health and our relationship with God. And we said that we have to go on a path of finding renewal. Now, I find it interesting when I think about getting healthier, I want more rest. Are you like me? Give me another week off, Chet, all right? Give me some more days off. When I think about getting healthier, the one thing that I think about is like, let's just get more rest. And I remember going to Chet, and I'm like, well, let's call the series Finding Rest. And he explained it last week, and I thought I'd kind of pick it up again. Rest and renewal, though they have similarities, but there are some differences. Rest is associated with pausing, right? Pausing to catch your breath. And you're pausing, and the intent is to continue what you were doing before. For instance, our vacations, and we all got a lot of vacations going on this summer. You're getting away, but guess what? You got to come back. That is a rest. But renewal is not pausing, but it's stopping. It's stopping and it's analyzing, doing a bit of inventory of one's own life. And the goal and the results is to choose a new path. Choose a new path to create greater and better results. Rest means to pause, while renewal means to stop. It reminds me of my wife and I bought this thing called a Peloton. It was the dumbest purchase ever. But anyway, all our clothes are on there right now. But anyway, when we bought it, my first time doing one of the workouts, man, like 2 minutes in, I needed to rest. That was just a warm-up, y'all. Like 2 minutes in, like, he was like, hey, this is just a warm-up. I'm like, then why are we going 80 miles per hour? Like, this makes no sense, right? And I got off the bike numerous times because I needed to catch my breath. And in life, we got to do that. We got to learn how to catch our breath. But then it got to a point 15 minutes in, I'm ready to die. Like, it's just bad. And I just got to the point, I was like, you know what? I just need to do something different, and I need to choose something new. So I'm just going to go on a walk. It's going to be better for me. It's going to be healthier in the end anyway. But that's similar to what we are trying to achieve in this. In a deeper sense, renewal is associated when you analyze and you come to this point and you say something's not working. And a lot of us know what that reality is like. Renewal is you come to this point where something's off. Or rather, something has to change. And typically when we get to that point, that's a good place to be. And we try to establish this thing called practice and discipline. And practice of discipline is fine and it's great, but the scriptures, and in Psalm 27, which we're going to be continuing today, Psalm 27 says, seek God's presence and then establish a better practice. Does that make sense? Seek God's presence, seek God's beauty, seek God's personhood, seek all the goodness of God and all that he offers, and then establish healthier practices in one's life. See, renewal, what we're trying to accomplish today and what we're trying to accomplish probably for the rest of our lives is not just creating better habits, but having more awareness. Not just creating better habits, but having more awareness. Awareness of what? Awareness of God, but also awareness of ourselves. The pursuit of renewal transforms our minds, and it brings us to greater health, both in our relationship with God and ourselves, but also with others. Chet said that this is the bottom line of the series. The reality of God is the only thing that satisfies the soul. I love that quote. I think that's one thing that we just need to just stick and thinking about as we read Psalm 27, because Psalm 27 is about allowing your soul to be satisfied, allowing your soul to find that renewal. And we get to that place when God is our treasure. So if you got your Bibles, open up to Psalm 27. We're going to be finishing it out. We're going to be at verse 7 all the way to 14. We're going to be finishing it out, ending the series today. And remember, if you were with us last week, Chet talked about really the psalmist David talked about what it means to seek God's presence. And we said that renewal is achieved when that is the greatest desire of our lives. Not success. Not to be noticed, not to have any notoriety, not to have more popularity, not to have more income, but more of God. That's what satisfies the soul, because you and I want more. I mean, we wake up every single day going to work wanting more and more. We enter into relationships wanting more and more. And David says, here's the truth. What satisfies the soul is when you have more of God. And guess what? God wants to give more of himself as well. And that's what we're talking about today. That's what we want to arrive at. And so what David's going to do, David's going to bring up and complete how we can continue in the path of being renewed. Let's start at verse 7 in Psalm 27. Verse 7, he says this, hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Verse 9, he says, hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. If you have your Bible, circle this part. Oh, you have been my help. Circle that. You have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me. If you don't know anything about the King David, he had a lot of family brokenness. And so do a lot of us. That's what I love about the Bible. It's not irrelevant. It's about real people who have real problems just like you and I. And David says, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord, statement of faith, but the Lord will take me in. Verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. Notice this shift. Notice this shift. When you read the Psalms, notice the shifts. Notice when they go from a plea to praise to depression to exaltation, whatever it may be. Look at this shift. But I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14, therefore I will wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage and wait for the Lord. David, in the midst of what he's going through. And it's a little bit hard to kind of figure out the context of the psalm. It is. It's just a little bit hard. Some psalms in the beginning, in the headings, if you read them, it will give the context. David will, or another writer will. It will say David when he was fleeing from Saul, or David when he was in the cave waiting to be delivered, whatever it may be. But there's one context that we can clearly see is that David is in the midst of difficulty. He's in the midst of some challenge. He's like, yeah, God, I love you. I'm thankful for who you are, but I got some real issues right now. And what does David do with that difficulty? The rhythm of his heart is worship. In the midst of difficulty, David goes to God in worship, and the rhythm of worship begins with prayer, because I believe that renewal is achieved when we have an active and intentional prayer life to God. Friends, followers of Jesus, you were called to pray. You were called to commune and to connect to God. You and I, we are called to speak to God on a daily basis, because God has so much he wants to pour out, but we have to be open enough to say, come in. And David's going to show us that the pathway to renewal, it begins with prayer, which leads me to ask this question: what is your prayer life like? And I don't mean to ask that to be condemning, because homeboy standing up here can tell you that my prayer life's a little off. Listen, I always leave this excuse, and this excuse is called time. I'm busy. I got a second kid on the way. There's a lot of things going on in my life. You know, recession's coming, so I got to DoorDash a couple times. Like, it's just been busy, y'all. Like, God, I know you love me and I love you, but I've just been too busy. Or maybe you fit this category. Maybe you would like to pray and you long to pray, but sometimes you believe that sometimes your prayers aren't heard and they don't get answered. And Jesus tells us that, man, it's our job to allow prayer to be something that we do. It's not optional, it's necessity. It's a necessary thing that you and I take the time, and especially in the midst of difficulty, like David does, and we root ourselves in prayer. In prayer. Number one, it's the way of Jesus. If you read the Gospels, you see Jesus praying a lot. Before Jesus does a miracle, he prays. Before he sends his friends out to do ministerial work, he prays. Before he is crucified in the garden, what is he doing? Praying. Prayer is something you and I must make sure it is the rhythm of our lives. Now, I told you that notice the shifts in the psalm. First 1-6, David's all about celebration. Rah, rah, rah. We love the rah, rah, rah sermons, don't we? Get me excited, Pastor. Get me pumped up. Give me more encouragement. But then there's a shift. David goes from celebration to contemplation. He's like, God, this is going on. So he says, God, I know you're good, but this is what's going on in my life. And isn't life kind of like what David is going through? Highs and lows. You catch that? Like, man, you're feeling good at one moment. Money's flowing. You know, your credit score looks good. FICO score, say your credit score went up. Got another email that says you're doing well. Sign up for another credit card, which I did yesterday. Anyway, so we have all these things. You have these highs, and then boom, next you know, somebody cuts you off. Boom, next you know, somebody says something that you didn't like. Boom, something happens, and then there is a shift, and then there is a law, and there is a low that happens in your life. David is going through that at this moment, and he's showing that. He's showing that to us. And to think about highs and lows, see, the difficult thing is we love to experience the highs, but sometimes we don't know how to get out of our lows. Am I right? I mean, we love to experience the highs, but man, when we get low, we just get low. And we just get low. And so what David's going to do, David's going to teach us how intentional, focused prayer brings us to where we actually need to be. So when we talk about these points of prayer, and if you got notes with you, jot these down. Remember, the Bible says those who take down notes sit closer to Jesus. That's what it says. So if you're taking down notes, you're just going from row 5 to 4 to 3 to 2. You'll be with Moses and Peter and the rest of them before you know it. Let's start with the very first one. This is the way of prayer, especially when we're in the midst of difficulty. He says this. He says the prayer of grace. The prayer of grace. Notice in verse 7, he says this. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, and be gracious to me. Now, what I love about David realizes that his relationship with God is based off grace. He says, my relationship with God is not based off performance. My relationship with God is not based off what I deserve. David recognizes that if anything, it is by grace and grace alone that I'm going to get and be where I need to be. And I love David's heart and I love David's mindset in this. And friends, sometimes I have to sit down and I have to realize everything that I have, where I am today, is by grace. Because I like to credit myself a little bit too much. You laugh, but you know it's true. I like to say, you know, it was my education that did this. It was my good looks and my skinny jeans that made me get my wife. It was because of this and it was because of that. Because I did this and because I did that. But David says, it doesn't matter what I've done, where I am is because of what he's done. It is by grace that I have what I have. I don't deserve a thing in my life. And that's a good thing. Because sometimes, if I'm not careful, entitlement will begin to rise. When I don't see God moving in my life, I begin to be like, well, God, don't I deserve this? Because, you know, I preach and I do your work for you, and I lead people to the church, and don't I deserve this? And what happens is, if we're not careful, if we miss out on grace, then entitlement will replace it. Complaint will replace it. Ungratefulness will replace it. But David says, God, at the end of the day, I want you to hear my cry, but as you hear it, be gracious to me. And here's the beautiful thing. As followers of Jesus, that grace is found in him. In him. Why do we need grace? Because grace empowers us to move forward. He says, man, I don't deserve anything good because half the reason why I am where I am is because of my ignorance. But I'm asking God to treat me better. I'm asking God to treat me better, and him treating me better won't be if I can rehearse a prayer. It won't be because I can memorize scripture. It won't be because I go to church every single week. It won't be because I give and tithe to the church. It won't be because of any of those things. If anything, it is based off his character, his goodness, but more importantly, his son. It's why he will be gracious and treat me better than actually that I deserve. The prayer of grace. But then if you don't read slow, that's why I told you to circle and underline in verse 9, where he says, hide not your face from me, turn not your servant away in anger. Listen to this. Oh, you have been my help. You have been my help. And then he continues on and he goes even further. He says, oh, you have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. You know what I see David doing in the midst of his plea, in the midst of his cry? He has a moment of reflection. You see that? the prayer of reflection. He says, God, you've been my help. Here is David again, crediting all that he has, all where he is, because of God. He reflects on God's goodness. Now, it was evident that God was in David's life. If you know the story of David, you would know one thing. David was a lowly shepherd boy. His father even forgot about him. That's why we read in verse 10, my mother have forsaken me. His father even forgot about him. His brothers cast him off. He was just this lowly shepherd boy doing work that usually people who weren't highly respected would do. But lo and behold, God shows up and he's in the midst of trying to anoint this new king because this one king named Saul is screwing all this stuff up. And then God sends this guy Samuel to anoint a new king. And then guess who they choose? David. David reflects and says, God, I am here today because you brought me here today. I was here and now I'm here. But here's the encouragement of reflection. If you brought me from where I used to be, you will get me to where I actually need to be. That's the importance of reflection. That's the importance of sitting down and saying, you know what? If God brought my family through that horrible storm, he's going to get us through this storm too. Why? Because God happens to be consistent, ever never changing, and he is faithful. That is the beauty of reflection. It's when I sit down and I say, man, at the end of the day, grace got me here, and grace will sustain me to where I need to be. Because God has been my help. God has been my salvation. God has been my deliverer. It is the prayer of sitting back and pondering on all that God has done. And friends, I encourage you, even those watching online, take down some notes and think about and write down all that God has done in your life. Those kids you have, that's God's grace. And guess if God gave you those kids, he'll be faithful to sustain those kids throughout their lives. Because there's one thing I get nervous about is my son. Y'all saw him up here. The boy is crazy. Like every day I'm just reminded, like, that's the reason why you're God. Like, because if he relies on me, he's going to fail. Think back and ponder on all that God has given you. Think back and ponder on when you were in a financial rut and then something happened. It's grace. It's mercy. When people were leaving you, when people were deserting you, then someone came along and held out their hand. See, that's this thing called grace. And guess what? The God that showed you grace then will be the God that will continue to show you grace forever. That's the power of reflection. I love David because David doesn't seem to trust in his own resources. Now, you got to remember, David's a king. He's got everything that you and I desire and want. He's got horses. I don't know if you want horses, but he's got horses. He's got palaces. He's got kingdoms. He's got a little bit of everything. He's got women. He's got all. But he says this, none of that can save me. My influence can't save me. My power can't save me. God can. Because he has been my help and he's been my salvation. So we talked about the prayer of grace. we talked about the prayer of grace, the prayer of reflection. And now we get to this point, probably one of my favorite points, the prayer of grieving. Look at verse 10. Let's look at verse 10 one more time. It says this, for my father and my mother, thank you, Brother Corey, for my father and my mother have forsaken me. As I said before, David has had a lot of family drama. Do you have a lot of family drama? Do you know anything about that? A little bit. You know what it's like to go to Thanksgiving and there's always tension? Christmas, it's always tension, fighting, bickering, back and forth. The in-laws is getting on your nerves. Come on now. We could joke about that, but you know what? A lot of the pain that David experienced, and a lot of pain that we've experienced from our families, from our loved ones. It's not funny. it leaves a void in our lives. The cut that we receive from our fathers. Listen, I know it's Father's Day, and I'm thankful for Father's Day, but also I am not blind to recognize and acknowledge some of us have had wounds from our own fathers. And David, what he does, he says, though my father and my mother have forsaken me. Now, this verse is a little bit ambiguous because really in the text or in 2 Samuel, there is no really means of David's parents actually leaving him. But really what David is doing, he's just acknowledging and accepting the losses and the rejection that he's experienced. I think a part of renewal, a part of being renewed, a part of finding a new habit, a part of becoming better, a part of getting healthier starts with us accepting and acknowledging the brokenness we received from other people. Because a lot of us, just our natural sense is to avoid uncomfortable things. I'm just going to skip over the fact what my dad did. And I'm just going to keep trying to be a good dad myself. My counselor tells me that's not healthy. I'm just going to skip over the fact how I was treated and what happened and what I went through. I'm just going to skip over all that. But David takes the time and he says, listen, I'm acknowledging my losses. I'm acknowledging my pain. I'm acknowledging the failures that others have caused on me. And I'm not doing that so I can be lower. I'm doing it so God can lift me higher. I'm not doing it because, you know, it just makes me feel worse. I'm doing it because God wants to bring me to a better place. And how does God want to bring me to a better place? When I admit the brokenness and the pain, because the statement of faith has to override what he said before. He says, but God will take me in. And sometimes, friends, the failures of other people teach us to trust God even more. Am I right about that? The failures of church people, the failures of family, it teaches us only God can be on the throne of my total dependence. Only God can be on the throne. Now, that doesn't mean I don't have a concern or love for anybody else. But at the end of the day, my love and acceptance and value come not from people, but from my Father in heaven. See, the failures, we look at them as painful, but God says it's beneficial because it points you back to him. It said, oh, you were putting all your dependence in this person, but actually it needs to be in me because that's the satisfying part of your life. It's more of me. Learning how to grieve. And I just want to encourage some people, if you have a hard time grieving, and man, we're big advocates here at our West Campus, man, stop and see somebody. Get some help. I see a counselor every week. And he gets his money's worth, I can tell you that much. He's like, brother, I'm about to charge you double. Stop and see someone. Because there's power when we grieve. Let's continue on and finish it out. He talks about the prayer of obedience and protection. I love David's shift that he does in this. He's giving all of God his brokenness, but then he wants God to give him what he actually needs. He says this in verse 11. He says, teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on the level path because of my enemies. Verse 12, give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me. They breathe out violence. Listen, in the midst of all David's difficulty, yes, he's asking God to deliver him, but he's asking God also to work in him as well. How many of us can admit, when we pray, we just ask God to do things for us? Come on, y'all. Am I the only sinner in here? I mean, look, you can admit it. It's an honest church. I'm the honest preacher, you know? When I go to God, I need you to make my kids behave today because they about to get on my nerves when we go to this park. So help my kids to behave. God, you know, my bank account's getting a little bit low. Let just random money show up if you can, God. God, this thing is going on. Can you do this and do that? But I love David's humility, and his humility makes him teachable. David says, God, I don't want you just to do a work for me. I also want you to do a work in me. Sure, God, I want you to change the circumstances, but I also want you to shape my character. See, a lot of us want God just to take care of our circumstances, but I read the scriptures from front to back, and every time that I read, or not every time, most of the time when I read it, it's about God shaping his people. It's about God allowing you to live with more integrity. God allowing you to have more honesty in your life. God allowing you to have more grace. God allowing you to have more compassion. God allowing you to be more, you ready? Forgiving. Somebody went like this. Because God is all about shaping your character. David believes, listen, I'm not one of those preachers that says, you know, we only need to focus on one thing about God. I believe God can do it all. I believe God can change cancer. I believe God can help somebody walk if they couldn't walk for you. I believe in all that. But what I see, Jesus tells us so plainly and clearly that God is all about shaping our hearts and our minds so that we can be able to express his fullness greater and greater in our lives. David takes the time. He says, this stinks and I hate it. And the pressure around me is beginning to grow. But here's the one thing that needs to grow me. Here's the one thing that needs to change me. God, I need to mature. Sure, peace can come from changing the circumstances, but peace actually becomes mine when I'm changing my character. When I'm walking in obedience. When I'm asking God to change my heart. Let that be your prayer this week in the midst of finding renewal. God, change me. God, I want to be wiser. I hate responding based off my circumstances. I hate responding based off my surroundings. I want to respond based off who you are. I don't want worry to be at work in me. I want your word to be at work in me. I don't want people to see my temper. I want people to see your truth. That's what I want more. Let that be the desire of your heart. Let that be the desire of your soul as you move forward. And then as we end, the shift is even greater. David goes from praying for obedience and protection, but listen how he lands here. He prays for God's promise, which leads him to patience. Verse 13. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. What happened? This seems like a brand new guy. The guy before was asking God not to leave him or forsake him. The guy before sounded a little bit scared and afraid. What changed? What led to him went from celebration to contemplation, and now he has confidence. What led to that? He intentionally prayed. He intentionally focused his prayer. He had a prayer life that wasn't just something to fly by and get it done. Sometimes I do that. God, thank you for waking me up. Help me to get to work without crashing. Love you, bye. He spends time with God. The only way you can be this intentional is when you take time. When you sit back and you say, God is getting my focus right now. God is getting my focus. Not my phone. My kids are asleep. Family's gone. But God's getting my focus. He went from crying for God's mercy to confidence. And as he draws near to confidence, it's all because of God's promises. He says, I believe that I shall look on the goodness of the Lord. Where do these promises come from? See, a lot of us don't know. David was in a covenant relationship with God. Here's the one thing I want you to know, and I'm going to nerd out just for 2 seconds, and then I'll be done, okay? See, God throughout history has always been in covenant relationship with his people. You see this all throughout the scripture. Now, if you don't know what a covenant is nothing but a contract. We don't call it a covenant today. We just call it, you know, just a contract. But a covenant, the bottom line for each and every one, because there's 5 of them, the bottom line for each and every one was promise. What God promises to do. He did it in the Noahic covenant. He did it in the Abrahamic covenant. He did it in the Mosaic covenant to God's chosen people in Israel. But a lot of us don't know there is a Davidic covenant. Well, what's the Davidic covenant? Each covenant would either be having unconditional things versus conditional things. Hey, Israel, if you do this, then I'll do that. But then there was times where God would say, even if you don't do this, I will continue my faithfulness. Even if you backslide, even if you go back to the thing that I told you that was stupid in the first place and you get in trouble, I will be faithful to rescue you. David's under that covenant. But also, this is a covenant that he's under, that on David's throne, there would be a son who will reign forever. And this throne, nobody would ever knock it off. So you got to remember, in David's day, there were a lot of dumb kings. David was a good king, but you got to remember, he had adultery. He had moments, y'all. Like, he just had some bad moments. And not only him, but other kings were pretty bad as well. But there's one king who will reign with truth and righteousness and perfection, and that's Christ. God fulfilled the Davidic covenant through Christ. And guess what? As followers of Jesus, we are under a new covenant. And what is this covenant? The covenant of blood, the sacrificial covenant. And with this covenant comes promises. There comes promises. And friends, if you want confidence, draw near to God's promises. What steals the soul is when we draw near to the promises that God has for us. How can we be sure of God's promises? Look at history. Look at history. This is why we encourage you to read. We're not legalists here. We just encourage you to read the scripture, because the God then is the same God now. He doesn't change. But also, the promises led to David being patient. But patience is painful. You laugh, but it's true. Patience, can I just be honest, sucks. I don't want to wait. Amazon Prime me my blessing right now, my Lord. Give me the tracking number so I can be up on here all day long. Stand by the window. There's the mailman. Let's go. Being patient it's painful. But it's possible when we trust in God's promises. So what are the big takeaways for these last 2 weeks? Just three things, and I'll be done. He came up here, that was indicating it's time to finish. But anyway, thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. We find renewal, number one, when we delight in who God is more than what he does. When we delight in who God is more than what he does. See, here's the thing. A lot of us want gifts, but we don't want the giver of the gifts. A lot of us want to be blessed, but we don't want the one who blesses. A lot of us want to be saved, but we don't want the one who actually saves. We want to be healed, but we don't want the healer. And David gives us a better way to worship. Number two, depend on God to deliver us from our trials, but to also transform us through our trials. Depend on God. Because there's some things only God can do. You ever got to a moment in your life, you're like, my education can't help this. My experience can't do nothing about this. I'm not strong enough for this. But there is the moment where you begin to say, but I know God, the one who will help me. But not just help me, to transform me. Because the great work is not what God does for you, but also what he does in you. But also, number three, learn God's promises. I encourage you to read, if you're taking down notes, read John chapter 14 through 16. You see all of Jesus' promise. There's a lot more promises if you keep reading, but there's just a full promise. Promises like when Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. Promises like, I go prepare a place for you. Promises like, the Spirit himself will lead you and guide you into all truth. Promises like, my peace I give to you. Not the peace that comes from the world, but the peace that is in me, because I am the God of peace. Learn God's promises. Let it be the rhythm of your life. Let it be the pursuit of your everyday practice. To learn promises of God. The scripture says the promises of God find their yes in Christ. Let's say a prayer. Father, renew our hearts. Renew our souls. Give us a firm understanding of who you truly are and who you're calling us to be. Help us to be shaped by your word. Help us to be shaped by your truth in the midst of our great difficulty. We are focused still on you. We're focused on your deliverance, which will come at some point. But also we're focused on the work and the shaping that you do within our hearts. God, I want to be like David and believe that I will see your goodness today. Sure, I might have to wait on it. But the reason why we wait is because of the promises that you make. And Lord, we can trust in your promises. We can trust in what you say. We can trust that you will bring glory to our situations. We can trust that you will bring power to our situation. We would trust that you can bring purpose to our situation. We can trust that you would bring goodness to our situation. We can trust in you because you said it. And what you say has to come to pass. There's not one thing, Lord, that you speak over our lives that returns back to you. No, it's fulfilled. Because you say you are watching over your word to fulfill it. We love you and we thank you. Christ's perfect and wonderful name. Amen.